chapter 12. The last 2 weeks, I've asked a question. I've used Psalm 23 as kind of my springboard text. If the Lord is your shepherd, and if He leads you, that it implies that you're following Jesus Christ. The question I've asked the last 2 weeks is, who will follow the Lord Jesus Christ? And we answered the first message, those who hear His voice in the effectual call. Not an audible voice, but those who are called to salvation. They will hear, they will believe, and they will follow Him. And then we also saw last week that in the New Testament, when someone made a public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they submitted themselves after they were saved to be baptized by the authority of the Lord's church. They followed the example that the Lord Jesus Christ gave in an act of righteousness and obedience to follow Him in scriptural baptism. Now today we're going to hopefully finish up this message. Those who follow Jesus Christ must be willing to serve Him. Now, nearly everybody will say, yeah, that's a given. Of course. But hardly anybody really delves in and looks into what it means to serve Him. We're living in a day and age of quote-unquote Christianity, where it's do as you please, serve as long as it fits into your schedule, if it's convenient, if it feels good. You know, one, I think it was Paula White or Beth Moore, one of them said, Christ did not call us to deny ourselves, but to fulfill ourselves. Well, that's completely contrary to what God's Word says. John chapter 12 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, it's interesting to me that Christ is talking about service while He is introducing them to the subject of His death, of the ultimate act of service and obedience that He performed in giving His life for His sheep. He goes on to say, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. If we're going to follow Jesus Christ, in order to be His servant, you must be willing to give up your rights, surrender your will, and place yourself entirely under the will and the command of the Lord, the Good Shepherd, the Master, the King. And we have the example of the Lord Jesus. If any man follow me, and if any man serve me, then you're going to have to die to yourself. You're going to have to follow my example. I gave my life in obedience to the Father's will to glorify His name. Now that's quite a price to pay. And I wonder if we really understand what it means to die to ourselves and our self-will and to be completely surrendered to the service of Jesus Christ to honor and glorify His name. That's the purpose for living. That's why we're here. It's not to please ourselves. It's not to serve ourselves, but to serve God. I can't imagine how much Jesus Christ had to completely surrender in His humanity to die on the cross, to become the ultimate servant in obedience to the Father. In fact, in the famous passage in Philippians chapter 2 where it talks about the hypostatic union of divinity and of deity and humanity of Jesus Christ, it says that he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. His servitude resulted in Him dying, not for anything that He had done, not for any sin that He had ever committed, but rather He selflessly gave everything in order to serve, to be a servant, and to save His people from their sins. This is our example. In fact, Paul said in that same passage in Philippians 2, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let this be your attitude. Let the mind of Christ, one of humility, of self-denial, of servitude to the Father, obedience, even if it costs you your life. Who will follow Christ? Look over at Matthew chapter 10, this idea of service involves self-denial. Now, in your average church today, and I shouldn't say, I don't want to make a general sweeping statement, but our church is a lot different than most. We don't have a dry ice smoke show. We don't have special lights. We don't have entertainment. We don't dance a lot. No, we don't dance at all, if you're listening on my sermon audio. But listen, I say that tongue in cheek, but there are churches that do these things. Everything geared toward making people feel better about themselves. Not a whole lot said about following Christ. So we're kind of old school. It's rare that a sermon like this is ever even mentioned, verses like this, in your average church. Because our society is so overcome with this idea of lifting up yourself. Doing what makes you feel good and makes you feel happy. And they can't tolerate a fat Baptist preacher who says, no, you're not to please yourself. You're not to live for yourself. You're to be surrendered to God. You're to serve Him with every fiber of your being, with everything that you have. We are to be dedicated, consecrated unto the glory of God in the service of Jesus Christ. Most people can't tolerate that message in the day and age in which we live. Matthew 10 and verse 32. Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." He is saying, I don't think he's saying at all that you ought to hate your mother and your father, but you should not love them more than you love the Lord Jesus. He is to have first place, even if it brings variance to your family. Look over at chapter 6. This isn't the only time he said something like this, the real Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" He's talking about self-denial. If you're going to follow Him, He says you've got to take up His cross. Your cross. What is that? What is the cross? It's a symbol of execution, of death. So in what sense are you to take up your cross? In this sense, every day, you have to die to self to follow the Lord. Because it's difficult to serve the Lord. It's not an easy road. If you are to follow Christ, you must daily put your self-will and desires to death on the cross and place yourself entirely under Christ's control, saying with Saul on the road to Damascus when he was saved, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Are you willing to follow Christ and to serve Him? Then you must be willing to surrender your time, your energy, your talents, and yourself to Him. Now, a servant is a slave who carries out the commands and wishes of the master. Are you a servant of Jesus Christ? Paul called himself a bond slave of Jesus Christ. As a servant, you must be willing to carry out the commands of the master. Look over at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. Well, I'll quote it for you, Matthew 4:19. This is a command. Jesus said, "Follow me," in verse 19, "and I will make you fishers of men." He's talking about being a witness. Going out and reaching others. In Mark 16:15, he says to preach the gospel to every creature. In Philippians chapter 2, he says that as the sons of God in this crooked and perverse and darkened world, we're to hold fast the word of life. So as His servants, if we're following Him, if we're serving Him, we're to tell others of what He's done. His death, His burial, His resurrection. We're to preach the gospel and share with others that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We are to tell others, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. This is our message. This is an overwhelming part of our life purpose. To be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're following Him, the Bible says about the life of Christ, He went about doing good. And you know what good you can do to this world? You can go forth sowing the seed of the gospel upon all the soil and all the ground out there, trusting God to give the increase. Who will follow Christ? Those who are willing to die to self in order to serve Him. Those who are willing not to keep their light under a bushel, but rather to let their light so shine before men that they may behold your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is what it means to follow Christ. In the early days of Christianity, the Bible says in Acts chapter 8, When that first church came under severe persecution, it says that the members of that first church were scattered abroad and they went everywhere preaching the gospel. their life was devoted to sharing the light of Christ, the gospel of Christ, with others. And oftentimes it cost them their wealth, their possessions, maybe even their life. I don't think most of us think along these lines of serving Christ and following Him by being obedient to these commands. The Scriptures plainly tell us that the followers of Jesus Christ must be engaged in telling others of His grace and sharing His gospel with other poor sinners. Will you follow Christ? As a servant, you must be willing to serve and obey the Master. See, the preacher is not your hired gun. This idea that only preachers should share the gospel or be a witness, it doesn't fit New Testament theology and practice. They went everywhere sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I ask you today, are you following Him? If so, you'll serve Him. We go back to the thought for our last point. He leads us in paths of righteousness. Those who follow Christ must be willing to be led by Christ in paths of righteousness. If you're saved, your life has been changed. You're to be zealous of good works, knowing that good works don't save you, but they give evidence that you're saved, that you love the Lord, that you want to honor Him. That is not legalism. Baptists have always preached Christ alone, through faith alone, is the only way of salvation. But once you're saved, your life must demonstrate that you've been changed by the power of God. You can't live like you used to. You must be willing daily to follow the lead of the Good Shepherd who leads in paths of righteousness. Listen, don't blame your sinful behavior on Jesus Christ. People will make excuses for their sin. They'll say, God created me this way. I'm going to tell you something. God did not create a sinful nature in you. That's yours alone. Don't ever blame your sin on God by saying, well, the Lord led me to do this. And then you go on and do it, even though it's completely contrary to what the Word of God teaches. Don't blame God. Don't blaspheme His name by saying that the Lord led you into this sin or that sin. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. We're to follow in his steps. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. Same truth, spoken in a different way. And hereby do we know that we know him. Here's how we know that we know the Lord. Here is how we gain assurance that we know God through Jesus Christ. And it's so simple. If we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Who will follow Christ? Those who demonstrate their love for him by obeying him with the desire to walk even as he walked. The path that Jesus leads in is one of holiness. The Bible talks about the character of Christ, that he was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. In John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We're to walk in the light as he is in the light. He leads in paths of righteousness, holiness, separation from sin and darkness. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Look over at Titus chapter 2 and verse 10. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. Are we following the Lord in ways of righteousness? You see, there's a brand of Christianity today that says, oh, you can do whatever you want. You want to be a drunk, you want to use drugs, you want to smoke pot and still be a church member. Come on, we're diverse. We're inclusive. We'll take everybody. Well, that's not biblical. It's this simple. If you're saved, you've got to live right. You have got to have a desire to do right. and honor the Lord with your life. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." There ought to be a longing in our lives to be more like Christ and to follow Him in the way of truth and righteousness. And the only way you're going to know that, the way that's right, is to read the Word. Pray. Hear the Word of God preached. Receive it into your heart. Obey the truth. And I tell you, you get out of church, you get away from the Word of God. I've said it my entire ministry. I have seen so many people, they get in that condition and all they hear is what the world has to say. They won't receive what the Word says. They won't receive the preached Word. They want what they want. They listen to the world and they wind up shipwrecked. I've seen it time and time and time again. I made my kids memorize these verses. Proverbs 4, verse 14 and 15 and 18. "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. But the path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." If you're saved by the grace of God, don't enter the path of the wicked. Don't even pass by it. The path that Jesus leads in is marked by meekness and humility and even lowliness. Jesus said, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." Meekness is not weakness. It's a holy resignation to the will of God in every circumstance of life. Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Even though he was equal with God, he was willing to become a man. He humbled himself. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." You know, a lot of humility and obedience boils down to something really simple. "Lord, I trust that You know what's best for me. I don't always know the way that's right. So I'm going to humble myself before You and find out what You want me to do according to Your Word. Enlighten me to it. Empower me to walk in Your ways." It's that simple. "Lord, You know better than I do. So give me grace to walk in Your ways rather than my own." And that path may involve suffering and persecution for His name's sake, because it's a path that goes contrary to the way of the world. A straight and narrow path of light that exposes and rebukes sin. It's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 that the world considered him to be the filth and the offscouring of the world because he would not abide by the world's standards but would rather preach Christ. There are Christians in Nigeria today who are being killed every day because they won't renounce Jesus Christ when Muslims come in to their villages. I wonder if they would come in today, who would take their stand and say, I'll follow Christ, even if it means death. Who will follow him in the path of suffering and persecution and rejection by the world? Think about how many times in your life you do things just to please other people. You may compromise here and there just so they won't think ill of you. I wonder, why can't we have this attitude? I'm going to live in such a way that the Lord doesn't think ill of me. Thou, God, seest me. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. How about this idea? I want to please Him. I want to follow Christ. I want to live for Him, no matter what the cost. Path that Jesus leads in requires sincere obedience to the commands of God. If you love me, keep my commandments. There's plenty of commandments in the Word. Love one another. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. The tithe is the Lord's. Preach the gospel to every creature. Take up your cross and follow me. Pray without ceasing. May God give us grace to truly be counted among those who will follow Jesus, no matter what the cost. Our Baptist forefathers were so filled with the Spirit that regardless of dungeon, fire, and sword, they would not stop following Jesus Christ. You know, if we follow the Lord, I believe it's worth everything. Everything that we may have to suffer is worth it all. Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glories which shall be revealed in us. I don't know if anytime soon we're going to be persecuted unto death. But I want us to be different from the religious world. I want us to be different from the status quo and the mediocrity and the half-heartedness and the insincerity and the hypocrisy that passes for following Christ in our day. Let's get back to the book to the old paths of truth and righteousness and service and sacrifice, and consecrate ourselves afresh and anew to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Who will follow Christ? I hope you know Him today. You say, but preacher, this kind of an introduction to Christ, who do you think is going to respond to that? People that the Lord draws and gives them a desire to want to know Christ and the free pardon of sin more than anything else in the world, and surrender themselves entirely to Him. It's the greatest life you could ever live. And I'm so thankful to be saved. And today I point you to Him as the only way you can be saved. Let's all stand.